Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And check in with our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI, Josh Briscoe. Briscoe, good to have you on the show again, man. We were telling a lot about Daniel Jones. Where do you think he ends up next year? I'll ask you real quick before we get to the Chiefs.
I'm sorry, I have a breaking news update here that Kendrick Lamar has dropped a surprise album. This has just been dropped on the social media platform formerly known as Twitter. I can't currently review any of it now because I'm here with you, but I will be doing that starting in about 15 minutes.
Well, will you give me a review later? Because I can't listen until 2.
Yes, I'll try to get you a review before 2, and you can pass that along, because I will be going headphones on here as soon as we wrap up.
I thought he waited to the holidays, typically, by the way. He didn't even get all the way to Thanksgiving. Next week.
Yeah, I thought it might be a little later on, and then, you know, kind of ramping up into the Super Bowl plan for the halftime show and everything, but it's out, baby. There are, I think, 10 tracks, just scrolling through real quick. I am very excited about that. I'm more excited about that than I am about Daniel Jones, but I do have an answer for you if you'd like it.
Hold on, wait, 1 second on that, just real quick. Didn't Drake just also release an album? So wait, did he do this as one more backstab to Drake?
I don't think Drake had something
super recent.
There's some interesting music out recently, Cody. I'd love to do a full segment with you on it, but
I'll let you
okay,
go.
Fine.
I'll
answer
you guys
his question
next week when I'm out and you're in. I think for an
yes.
hour or two, Briscoe, you guys can talk about what GNX or whatever this thing is called.
Perfect. Gold, you're already on top of it. If I had to guess, I would think that Daniel Jones is going to get at least one run of sort of like the Sam Darnold treatment, or one of those places where a team that drafts a quarterback also signs Daniel Jones on a pretty cheap 1 year kind of, you know, prove it reset type of deal. I don't know which team that'll be. I don't know which rookie that'll be paired with, but this rookie class is also kind of coming together in a strange way. So I don't think he's all the way to like practice squad, work your way up and earn a roster spot territory. I think he'll get a chance at a reclamation project at another organization. The issue is, it's not that this isn't the Jets and Sam Darnold. Like, the Giants should have a competent offense. Obviously, they just way overpaid him, and that was pretty evident from the moment that his pen hit the paper.
When you look at what Charles Omenihu and Isaiah Pacheco have done at practice this week, limited participants, not full at any one point. That feels like, to me, I made the classic mistake, which is thinking the Chiefs would bring a player back and what timeline made sense to me versus a week after that.
I'm happy if they do not play on Sunday, for what it's worth. And we'll find out today, obviously. Andy will kind of give us the hand tip, or maybe just explicitly say they're out, because he's done that in these recent weeks. I have thought, and I think I was telling Carrington this on Wednesday, that I thought that Pacheco had a pretty good chance to play, because the way they talk about bringing him back and slowing him down and keeping him on track and everything, it feels like he'd really love to go out there and get 5 to 10 carries or something like that, or even 5 to 10 touches. But I am perfectly fine with them not being out there against the Panthers and not being out there for a short week turnaround with the Black Friday game coming up. So I'm perfectly okay with them taking every bit of time they can. Omenihu, I'm more worried about, just because, you know, we're talking about recovering from that late January ACL. I think when Pacheco comes back, he'll look pretty much like the Pacheco that we saw right before the injury. I don't know what the timeline is going to be for Omenihu, but I think both of them are going to need some reps before the playoffs. Anything short of that, I'm not worried about. Obviously, next week they will have to be active.
Because of that quick turnaround and whether or not Pacheco's playing or not,
I feel like Sunday, if things are in hand at all in the second half, this feels like a Carson Steele, Samaje Perine could get more work than they have at all the entire season.
I think that's right. I think Andy and everybody involved will be pretty slow to pull out like legitimate starters. You know, Mahomes and maybe Kelsey gets a little bit of an early rest. You can trust Noah Gray to do that. I think Mahomes is going to be out there unless it's a blowout in maybe the early fourth quarter. But I think that the running back position is the exact spot to do that and to say, hey, this is a Carson Steele game. If you do fumble, it's okay because we're up by 17. If they get there, I'm not totally sure that this game is going to be a blowout though.
It should be, though. I know that, I ask this once a year for the Chiefs because I understand the rest of it is football, and football is an inconsistent sport in which the 2-8 Browns can beat the 8-2 Steelers in a snowstorm. But The Panthers game with normal rest, I don't know what else you're asking for. Like, I mean, that's the kind of team, if there's once a year you're going to ask a team to kick someone's ass, it feels like Sunday is the game.
It's one of the things that have made the Lions so hard not to make, you know, number one in your power rankings or whatever, because we have seen them obliterate bad teams.
A couple
of times. Panthers have won two in a row. They've got an off week. I'm not buying a tremendous, Bryce Young owns Steve Spagnuolo little subplot, but I could see this game being a little bit tighter than we'd like for it to be, because I don't know how much the Chiefs are, for example, going to push the ball down the field. I'd love to see them keep doing that. I think that's a really vital thing for this offense to figure out as the playoffs come around. But in the meantime, I could still see, like Gold said, you know, with the steel-heavy offense, a lot of Samaje Perine, and trying to keep a little bit of that workload off of the shoulders of the veterans. I just don't know that it's going to be a terribly fun viewing experience because the Chiefs haven't given us many like that. I don't know that they've really given us one like that since week 3 against the Bears last year.
Have we gone too far in the criticism of the offensive line? As in, we all know it is not without flaw, but I think we've maybe gone too far in the end that pretending it's the single biggest problem with the offense. That might still be wide receiver.
Yeah, I think we've gone too far with the criticism of the tackles. I'll give you that for sure. I think Juwan Taylor's been pretty good this year, and the penalties have improved. And I think Wanya Morris, when he hasn't been actively playing through a very sore knee, he was good last week against Buffalo. Trey Smith had a terrible day in pass protection. PFF referenced that, or you could see that in their charts. It was his worst pass pro grade of the season, maybe his worst pass pro grade of his career. It was in the low 30s. It also shows up on film, and you can see it in the plays where Mahomes was pressured. It was not a good day for him. Everybody else was fine, though. And to that point, it's always that relationship between the protection and Patrick Mahomes. It seemed like there were just about as many times on Sunday against Buffalo where Mahomes either mismanaged the pocket or missed the throw as it was times where the O-line was to blame. It's all intertwined, and I still think maybe Mahomes is having a little bit of trust issues still kind of built up from last year with some of those issues, but they need to get that figured out by the playoffs. And because it's an issue with Mahomes and really good offensive linemen, which, again, I think three of the interior is elite. Trey Smith's not an elite pass blocker, but he's a very, very good overall guard. You say Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey and Joe Tooney and Juwan Taylor, Wanya Morris, and Patrick Mahomes need to play a little bit better. They certainly can do that. So that gives me a little bit of hope, even though it is a frustrating reason for the offense to be a little stuffy so far.
We're talking to our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI. He's the editor-in-chief over there. That's Josh Briscoe. He joins us each and every Friday at 11 o'clock here on Cody and Gold. So looking at what happened last night, though, with the Steelers dropping a game against Cleveland, I don't know if any of us actually believe they were a true number one seed contender anyway. But that completely ended last night, right? This is a Steelers team that looks like they're capable of winning a playoff game.
Yeah, and it's the thing that makes the Steelers so difficult to judge, and the reason that I've been saying since last week, a little bit tongue-in-cheek and a little bit seriously, that the Steelers will ruin another Christmas for the Chiefs. We're going to have two years in a row where the Chiefs play on Christmas and make everybody in Kansas City miserable, because they do have, first of all, some pretty good matchups for the Chiefs in a few different things, especially being able to get quick pressure, which is, you know, good for any defense. I think they are the most volatile good team in football, where any given week they really could fail to get the offense going in a little bit of a snowstorm under pressure by Myles Garrett and everything else that they're trying to accomplish with that offense being as deep ball heavy as it is. That's, again, they're kind of the bizarro Chiefs in some of those ways, right? Where it is built on big plays, but their down-to-down offense is not very good right now, and their defense is good enough to be an absolute headache for an offensive line and a quarterback that's having a little bit of trouble figuring out what's real pressure and what isn't. So I don't think that the Steelers to your point, I think there's virtually no chance that they win three playoff games in a row. I don't see that happening. But I do legitimately think they could beat the Chiefs on Christmas, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit.
When you look at what the Chiefs need to get better at, we mentioned the offensive line, certainly, but I mean, is it just pass rush? Like, where do you think this team's biggest flaw is? They're 9-1 for a reason. I'm not saying that they're like a broken football team.
Yeah.
But if you said, is it corner overtaken defensive line? Is defensive line still like, well, if you solve that, maybe corner'd be fixed. Where do you see the single biggest thing they have to improve on by the end of the year?
I think with like a magic wand to wave, I probably would go to the four-man pass rush. They just haven't gotten nearly enough out of the edge guys. And maybe Joshua Uche gets a little more work here on Sunday, and you continue to see him ramp up. Him playing five snaps last week in a game they could not get pressure on Josh Allen, and that the power rushers were not working. Five snaps there is inexcusable. Like, I'm not here calling for Steve Spagnuolo's job or anything, but I think Spags got back to the facilities and saw the snap count and went, I probably could have gotten him a little more involved. He mentioned that a little bit yesterday, too. I believe our guy Nate Taylor was asking Spags about that. But I think if you could get more out of that front four, it does make life easier for Nazi Johnson and Shamari Connor, or maybe even Chris Roland Wallace getting back involved in the slot there. The problem is that Jalen Watson injury. Here's a hypothetical for you guys. I tweeted this out yesterday, and also blue skied it out, I suppose. It's on social media now, on the websites. If I said, hey, you can magically bring back a fully healthy Rashee Rice or Jalen Watson, who would you bring back? And I have really gone back and forth on that question a number of times. I think those two, though, would certainly solve the vast majority of these issues. Without Watson, though, I take the pass rush. Do you guys have a Rice Watson
question.
Take?
Yeah, it's a great question.
I think I'd do Rashee Rice.
First inclination is Rice, because I still have faith that Steve Spagnuolo can get Nazi Johnson to develop the rest of the way still. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think we just know Rashee Rice, what he was for this offense down the stretch last season.
Either way, it obviously is a huge boon to this team, but I think you either have the option A of get the offense back to kind of the preseason plan of largely running through Rashee Rice and now playing off of Travis Kelce and now DeAndre Hopkins, even Juju, whatever, and certainly Xavier Worthy, the deep ball. That offense to me feels like something that could blow out the Panthers on Sunday without even having to break too much of a sweat, because the offense would just work. On the other hand, when you have Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson back out there, your slot situation gets better, because sometimes you could go ahead and put McDuffie in there if Nazi Johnson's playing on the outside, or you can go ahead and let Connor keep handling that. You just have two guys on the outside that quarterbacks don't want to target. Right now, they're able to put a glowing spotlight on Nazi Johnson, and again, occasionally Connor, and we'll see maybe if Joshua Williams ends up back out there. I bet we see one more full week of Johnson getting a chance to make that job work for him, but it's a really interesting little hypothetical. Obviously, I don't have quite enough magic powers to make it happen, though, unfortunately.
I wish, because I don't think either. Well, obviously, Rashee Rice not coming back. And I think, as it was put by some other people, longest of long shots, essentially, it sounds like, for Jalen Watson. Hollywood Brown, just real quick on him. We think it'll probably be practice window opens maybe next week, week after that, maybe back by Christmas. Seems to be the general consensus of best guess time work on when he could return at the earliest for the Chiefs. If he doesn't return by then, I don't feel like you can really count on him that much. I think, like, he has to return by week 15, 16, 17 to have any kind of impact in the playoffs that matters.
Yeah, I think if you could get him in a limited role against the Texans, maybe he's really playing against the Steelers, and then you see where everybody's at for that Broncos game. That's kind of a funny thing, is like a best case scenario, the Chiefs aren't playing starters in that Broncos game, but I don't know if Hollywood Brown out there running routes for Carson Wentz really does much for him and Mahomes, and maybe it still gets Hollywood up to speed in a way that would still be useful, but it's really, really tough, because you're right, I mean, there is a tight turnaround there from games that may matter to a game that hopefully doesn't matter to the game that matter the absolute most. If he can be back by around Christmas, I think getting him involved is a extremely high priority for this football team, because it really can, again, solve some of those issues that the offense has, because he can attack at all depths of the field, and it seems like Mahomes was developing really well with him in training camp. The problem is now you're going to be doing that with a multi-month-long layoff from those guys actually, you know, throwing and catching passes with each other. So I remain a little bit optimistic, because I am a believer in what Hollywood was going to do in this offense, but the longer it takes, the more difficult it's going to be up to speed by the playoffs. No question about that.
All right, Briscoe, we'll let you go, man. Let you go listen to some Kendrick Lamar.
Thank you. I've already got one AirPod in, just ready to go as soon as we're done.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Here.